Sister, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat as you are. I get very emotional and cry a lot. I feel like my emotions are on the verge of tipping right now. The young people got up and I was teary-eyed. You got up and sang that song and I was teary-eyed. But it's something when I see others, when I see our young people sing and live for the Lord, it stirs something within me. I enjoy their passion. I enjoy seeing their passion, and it's just something. It's a wonderful experience living for the Lord, but it's also a wonderful experience seeing others live for the Lord and benefiting from the Lord's goodness. I'm still thanking the Lord this morning for this meeting, for this opportunity to be here. I still want to go to heaven. I still want to go to heaven. And I hope most of you want to go to heaven too. Do y'all want to go to heaven? Who wants to go to heaven? Who wants to be a disciple? Maybe that's not a question we hear very often. Maybe that word's a little bit foreign to us. But if I were to ask the question, and if we did this type of thing where we ask for a show of hands, and I know we don't make that a common practice, but if I asked who wanted to go to heaven and who wanted to follow Jesus, I expect that there would be close to 100% response saying that you want to go to heaven and follow Jesus. And if you didn't feel comfortable raising your hand because you couldn't answer that from your heart, I imagine you might would raise your hand anyway, because if you didn't, the person next to you might look at you kind of funny. But I want to go to heaven. I want to be a disciple. And I believe that most here have that same desire. That is my little thought this morning. I don't expect to be up here but just a few minutes. But I would like to speak about being a disciple. Being a true disciple. I looked up a few definitions, and they pretty much all said the same thing. But one kind of stuck out in my mind. I'd like to read that for you. Definition of a disciple: a pupil or learner of any teacher or school. But a true disciple is not just a student or a learner, but a dedicated follower, one who applies what he has learned. Thus, a true disciple will ask, "What would Jesus do?" I can appreciate, and I do appreciate, I'm very thankful. I know most of the time when we think of disciple, we think of back in New Testament times, and Jesus picked the 12. I'm sure that's the first thing that our minds go to. I am very appreciative, very thankful for that group of men that were willing to, after being chosen by the Lord, that were willing to learn, that were willing to try to get a hold of those concepts that the Lord was trying to teach to them, that were willing to sit and listen to what He had to say. But not only sit and listen and soak those things up, but thankful that they were willing to follow. That they were willing to follow the Lord from the time that they were chosen until He went to the death on the cross. And I think I know that is what the Lord wants from us today. He wants to come by, and He has every single individual in this world, in this place today, that is truly His desire. Is that we would make the choice to learn, to listen, but not only be a learner or a pupil, but to be a dedicated follower. To try to reach that ultimate goal. where Jesus told his disciples, he says, I'm going to heaven. I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's where I'm going to be, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to bring you there. But in the meantime, I need you to hang out here a little while. Take what I've learned. Take those things that I've taught you. Let's spread it around. But there's coming a time that heaven is going to be your end goal. And thank the Lord that they were willing to follow Christ while He was here on earth. And then after He left, that they were still willing to follow. And Lord, help us that we would be willing to be a true disciple and be willing to follow Christ to that end goal, heaven. Christ gave us some direction. He gave us some instructions for those that, to His disciples, to us here on earth, that wanted to learn, that wanted to follow, those that wanted to love Him. He gave some direction. I think of a couple verses over in John. John 14, verse 15. If ye love me. And they claim they love Him. We claim we love the Lord. The Lord says, but if ye love me, keep my commandments. Next chapter over, it says, ye are my friends, the disciples. Claimed to be His friends, wanted to be His friends. So do we. Ye are my friends, if. There's that, and that's a big word. If ye do what I command you. I want us to get a hold of these two scriptures this morning. If ye love me, like you say you do, keep my commandments. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. I'd like to draw something on the board. This is very pretty. I hate to erase it. I've been looking at it every time I come to service. Just a very simple drawing. I know that may be hard to see. It's just a classic illustration of a road that splits off and we have a choice. Something that I'm sure each and every one have seen before. I would like to thank tonight, or today, I'm sorry. I would like to thank today that this is where everyone wants to go. We've seen in this meeting the passion of those that sing, that raise their hand, that have special songs, that respond. That's our end goal. That's what we all want to obtain. Jesus gave some instruction on what we need to do to get there. Very, very simple instructions. Instructions that are not hard to understand. I'd like to look at another scripture in John. John 3, verse 5. This is just part of the process. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I think this is something that is all very that we all are very familiar with. We've heard preaching on many, many times that we have to come before, we have to recognize the state that we are in, the sin that is upon us. We have to come before the Lord with a repentant heart. We have to ask Him into our lives. We have to be born again. And then we can enter into that relationship with Him and begin to learn, to listen, and to follow. So, part of the instruction. If you look over in Matthew 7, verse 21, there's some more instruction. Matthew 7 and 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." That's who's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not those that come and just proclaim His name. Not those that just in everyday conversation like to speak the name of Jesus. Like to relate to others how much head knowledge they have of verses and memorization of scriptures. It's the Lord saying here, it's more than just saying, Lord, Lord. It's more than just saying that I know who Jesus is. He said, no, it's more than that. But if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, if this is where we want to be, and we find ourselves all along, many people are here. Many are over here. But many can be on this road here. Many can think they're on this road here. That's what I meant to say. Many are here. Many can be deceived and think that they are here. That 21st verse says, "They shall enter heaven, those that doeth the will of my Father." And I think that this is where it starts to become an issue. When we talk about doing the will of the Father. Have you ever heard of the term progressive Christianity? I'm sure some have. It's not a term that we use in our services very often, but it is a thing. The definition of progressive Christianity, kind of in a nutshell, is a belief that encourages people, Christians, to be creative and to think differently outside of the norm. Moving forward, advancing with new ideas and giving new meanings to scriptures, or disregarding scriptures altogether. A belief where essential Christian doctrines are open for reinterpretation. Again, many have come to believe and to fool themselves into thinking that they are here and that this is what they are trying to obtain. And they can get to the point in life where they actually believe with all of their heart and they are sincere within themselves that the path that they are on, that this is going to be their end result. Remember, we're talking about being a disciple, a true disciple, a follower of Christ, going where Christ went, walking, not literally walking the same road, but walking the same road that Christ walked, responding in ways that Christ responded, We live in a time where people want to march to the beat of their own drum. People want to pave their own road. People want to make up their own set of rules to fit their circumstances, to fit the way that they, to fit the way that they want to live. And I think we as saints, we that have a passion, we that love the Lord, need to be very, very careful, because Scripture is very, very clear with some things that we can and we cannot do. I know there are some things in the Scriptures that we have to read into, and we have to study into, and we have to go to others who have had experience and have been in places in life, and we have to ask questions, and we have to say, what has been the teaching on some of these things? And we have to seek the Lord about those things. But there are some things in the Scriptures that are not hard to understand, that are simple to understand, that are kind of the term we use, what, cut and dry, that we can and we can't do. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 6. Looking there at verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now I know this is not words in red, this is not the words of Jesus, but let me remind us that these were men that were inspired by the Lord. Many might say, well, you're talking about following Jesus. I am talking about following Jesus. But these were men that recorded these Scriptures and wrote these Scriptures down for us out of inspiration from God. These Scriptures have been erased from pulpits across America. They have been erased from ministers, from so-called ministers of the gospel. They have been erased from the everyday lives of so-called Christians. Christians that would claim that they're here. Christians that are trying as hard as they can try, that are putting forth everything they have to get here. I really believe that people can come to a place where they are so deceived, and yet they still take part in some of these things. You know, these things are just things we don't mention too often. We don't like to think about, let alone talk about. And not that my real fear is that it's going to creep right in here among us. I really do believe that we are still, us as a people, we are still far removed from this. But Lord, help us to be careful as saints of God what we begin to accept. What we begin to look at, as I think it was mentioned last night, what we begin to kind of become numb to. What we begin to let kind of hang out with us, and that we don't really say anything. Or maybe we're too Lord, help us to be able to say what we need to say when we need to say it. Lord, help us to be able to take a stand when we need to take a stand. You know, again, I know these weren't words of Jesus, but the words of Jesus and these scriptures, when they were written, they rang true. They rang true, and they still ring true this very day. I would like to think that there was a time, not 2,000 years ago when these scriptures were wrote, but just as recent as a couple hundred years ago, when these scriptures could be presented in any church service across this country, and people would have raised their hands and would have agreed with this and would have said, oh my, that has no place here. I would have liked to think that people had that passion and had the courage to say that and to come against these kind of things. I would like to think that was recent as just a little while ago. But it's sad, but not true today. And so many today will claim Christianity, will claim to be a disciple, will claim to be a true disciple, a follower of Christ, and yet still have these things incorporated into their lives. And let's remember, only those that follow and do the Lord's commands will be able to be His disciples and enter into heaven. I think that's why it is so key. Only those that do the Lord's commands. So again, these are things that we don't talk about very often. It's uncomfortable to talk about. Some big things. Some nasty things. It's some gross things. And I'm sure that most here would respond in such a way that on a personal level, that these things don't apply. And if they don't apply, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that they don't apply. Or if they did apply and you've come out of those things, thank the Lord. But what did Jesus say? He said, keep my commandments. Not just these type of things. Not just these big, nasty things that we don't like to talk about. But He said, keep my commandments. He didn't say keep a few of them. Keep the ones that I'm going to allow you to pick and choose through them. No, keep my commandments. And that takes in all of the commandments. Let's look at a verse over in Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. And Jesus said unto him another commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Every time I read this scripture, I ask myself the question, and many times I feel myself coming up short to this question because I don't really think I will ever understand the depths of this commandment. To be able to love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I don't know if I can try. I can give it my best effort. But I don't know if I will ever fully understand what that means. So in the meantime, I'm just going to do all I know to do. But I find myself asking myself the question to challenge myself. And I ask you today, if you claim to be that disciple, that true disciple, that follower of Christ, if we claim that we're here on this road and we're getting here, then you're claiming to follow all the Lord's commandments. So you're claiming the Scripture. You're claiming that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Which means you're giving it 100%. That you're letting Him have full control. That everything that you are made of is the Lord's. Everything that we partake of, everything that we allow into our lives is the Lord's. If I am claiming that I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, I have to think. Let me ask the question. Does everything that my life consists of right now, this very minute that we find ourselves in right now, everything that my life consists of, is it a display of loving the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind? Is everything that I'm doing, is it a display? Is it a result of loving the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind? I think it was brought out so beautiful last night. We were given a couple of examples that the Lord, I felt, gave me as well. Is the things that I'm allowing to come before my eyes, the things I allow my eyes to see, not I don't have my phone on me, not just those phones. We're talking about much more than phones. We're talking about much more than computer screens. It's anything that's not pure and holy. The grocery store aisles. Things that we see driving down the road that we have the ability to turn away and not see. Anything that would be put before our eyes. Is everything, that's a big word, is everything that I allow before my eyes a display, a result of loving the Lord my God? The things that I allow myself to listen to? You know, it's so easy to get away with listening to things and nobody not having to know what you're listening to. And it's more than music. It's the company I allow myself to be in. The conversations that fill my mind. The conversations that fill my ears. And eventually with anything will work its way to my heart. The places that I allow myself to go. The things that I allow myself to do. Are all of those things helping me get to here? If I continue doing everything that my life consists of, is that propelling me in this direction? Is it generating pure and holy thoughts before God? I know there are some things that we've heard preached over the years. And many times the response is, well, I don't have convictions on those things, and those things don't bother me, and I don't have a good understanding on that. But I would ask you to think back. You know, many times people can have had a conviction and then get to a point in life where they no longer have a conviction. You know, I think back to just my early teenage years and my early adult years, and just how easy it is to, you know, to sincerely be here. I mean, like 100% be here and trying to make this my end goal. And then, you know, little by little, something come up, or you do something or partake of something or do something that you felt wasn't quite right. There was something there that sparked maybe a question in your mind that maybe I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe this is not what a true follower would do. But you know what? I'm not sure. So I push past that feeling and I do it anyway. But I felt the prick. But I pushed past it anyway. But still, in my heart, sincerely, I'm still trying to get here. I felt that prick, but not sure about it. But I'm still on my way. A little bit of time goes by, and that thing might come up again. So I question it again. And this time, I feel something, but it's not as strong. It's not as much of a prick as it was. Maybe it's not as much. Maybe I go through that thing a little quicker than I did the first time. All right, and this becomes, it can become a repeat thing. We can do this and still claim, and still be here. But eventually there's going to come a time when something comes up, or when this thing comes up, that I don't feel anything. I don't feel anything. Yeah, I know, you know what? I know mom and dad raised me this way, and they taught me against this thing, or they warned me against this thing. But you know what? I'm an adult now. I'm on my way to heaven, and I don't feel anything about it. Lord, help us. Think of that verse over in Psalm. I don't know the chapter. Thinking about these things I put before my eyes, the things I allow my ears to listen to, things I allow myself to do, the things that I allow into my life to make up who I am. Think of the words that David said. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Dear ones, if we really are a true follower, the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are going to be acceptable unto the Lord. And I would ask this morning to take inventory of what's in our hearts, of what is in our minds, and ask, is it something that you could bring and present before the Lord, and that He would readily accept those? Can I follow Christ and continue on the path that I'm on? I've asked in years past, I've asked Sunday school classes. I've said, think of the things that you do in your everyday life. Is it something that you can invite the Lord to do with you? Is it something that He would partake of? Folks, there's only one way to get here. Jesus said, only those that doeth the will of the Father. Only those that follow, do His commands. The only way to get here. That's another big word. The only way to get here is through Jesus. There's not a simpler way to put it. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. We can't go around it. We can't be here and say, well, there's too many scriptures that I keep running into, so I'm just going to jump over them and keep going. Or there's too many scriptures I'm running into that's kind of putting a halt, and I can go around it, and I can make my own way, that I can manipulate or twist the scriptures to fit the path that I want to take. The only way to heaven, the only way to Jesus, to our Father, is through Jesus. It's by doing the will of the Father. And our life can be full of dedication. Our life can be full of perseverance. But there is one thing. If there is one thing, you know, one thing will keep us out of heaven. One thing can keep us out of heaven. As always, with these types of thoughts, we like to give the reminder that it's doable. It is available. We've heard it already in this meeting. You know where the answer is. You know, if there are things that can be confusing, there are things that we have questions about. But you know what? We have one that we can run to get the answers to those things that confuse us, to those things that we have questions about. The Lord has given Scripture, but not only Scripture, He has put people in our lives that have went on before us, that are here with us today, that have an understanding. There is help available. I think of the Scriptures over there in Matthew chapter 7. It says, ask. This is another commandment. The Lord said to do this. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened up unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, it is the Lord's desire today that we make heaven, of course. It is His desire today that we follow every commandment, that we do the will of His Father, each and every one of them. He has the answers. He's made Himself available. I asked us this morning, as I wish we took a poll sometimes of who wants to go to heaven. I believe with all my heart that just about each and every one of us in here want to go to heaven. And that encourages me. I love seeing the passion. But dear ones, I just want us to be careful that we not let the big things creep in amongst us. Those things that we don't like to talk about. Those things that are in other churches, that come across other pulpits as okay, but are really, truly of the world. That is a concern. That is a fear. I don't ever want that to happen. No child of God wants that to happen. But it is also my concern that we don't let down our guard and let the small things creep in amongst us. That we don't let the small things creep in into our own individual lives. That we don't let the small things creep into my own personal relationship with Jesus. Because I believe we can have a relationship with the Lord. We can be sincere, and if we're not careful, little things can creep in. We have to take care of those things. Lord, help us that we would not only be a disciple, not only be a pupil and a learner, that we would be a true disciple, that we would be a follower, that we would follow Jesus all the way through every scripture, through every chapter, through every book. Lord, help us. Amen.